perhaps the most remarkable thing about the Lord's Prayer is that we've got as far as today before the Lord suggests that we ask anything for ourselves. We've had Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing we think about when we pray. Thy kingdom come. Next thing we think about when we pray. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And now for the first time, something about ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. You remember we say these are the same as trespasses or sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive them that trespass against us. So there's two things tonight, but now they concern us. They're not altogether what perhaps we might have thought we would like to pray. It begins with, give us this day our daily bread. And when I'm praying for this prayer, when I'm praying and seeking the Lord's blessing on my life, I like to linger on this one. Now, it is a prayer that we have food. Sometimes famines happen. Sometimes, as this year, the rain came early and things didn't go, and then the sun came too fiercely and spoiled some things. Some things were harvested well, and other things failed altogether. But we are completely dependent on what is grown in the fields. So it's right that we ask that the Lord provide our food. It could run out. We live in a country where it is probably unlikely, unless the whole world loses its crops. But there are many people who do not get this bread. Many people who have to pray earnestly every day that they might just have enough to eat or for their family to eat. But I'd like you just to turn for a few moments with me to John chapter 4. I'm going to do this twice more. Once with this part of the prayer and once with the next part of the prayer. But in John chapter 4, it's a story about how Jesus was tired and he sat at a well and sent his disciples to go into the village to get food. So this is John chapter 4. And he has a talk with the woman, she comes from a place called Samaria, about how she can be saved. And he reveals to her that he is God's promised Messiah. And then when the disciple, he's been talking to this woman and leading her to believe in him, and that has really, really made him happy to be able to do that. And the disciples come back, the woman has gone off back into her village, and the disciples come back and they say to him, Master, it's about time you had something to eat. And he says to them, but I've had food to eat that you know nothing about. And they looked at each other and they said, has someone given him something to eat? And he said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And they were just going to read those few verses. I've explained them to you. So it's John 4 and verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat, that's food, it just means food, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now this is crucial for understanding the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer for daily bread, but much more it's a prayer that we will do the will of the Lord and speak to people about Christ if the opportunity occurs. His food, the Saviour's food, was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, here is a prayer clearly that is meant to be prayed every day. Can't ask for daily bread for 3 days in advance and so on. You're praying each day. Give us this day our daily bread. But then we get the opportunity to think, now what the Lord really wants us to pray is that we will be able to do his will today. And so we pray, or I certainly pray when I'm using this prayer, that the Lord may give me opportunities to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them, to minister to them, to do whatever is right in his service. When you're young, of course, the opportunities might not be quite so good, but there's plenty of things to be done. There's learning so that you will be in a position in life later on to be able to do those things. But what we're asking is that the Lord will take us, guide us through each day in the way that he wants us to go. To learn something, maybe. To learn a lot, maybe. To meet with people, maybe. Whatever it is, he wants us to pray. It's not just then about asking for food every day. That is part of it. But much more important, here is a prayer by which you can pray to the Lord about all the things that are going to happen in the rest of the day, and that the Lord will help you to make them worthwhile and good in his service. Not difficult to understand, but very important to learn to do. And then there's the next part of our prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or, as we say it in the Lord's Prayer as it's come down to us today, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Now, the Greek language has a number of words for sin, but the two most obvious ones, and they're quite fun to learn, are one word that's translated sin is you miss the mark. So here you are, you're learning to fire a gun, it would have been arrows no doubt, practicing and aiming at a target. And you fire your arrow, you fire your gun, and you miss. And the word that speaks about missing a target is another word that is used for sin. We miss God's target for our life. We do things that we're not supposed to do. And therefore, he is not pleased with us. The other word is easy to remember if I just use the words, we've all seen these signs, keep off the grass, or private, no entry. The other word for sin is overstepping the mark, going where you shouldn't go. And that covers another sort of sin. The things when you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Rather different idea, but those two words between them cover a lot of sins. Now, we sang that hymn about the Lord's mercy. And part of the Lord's Prayer is that we ask the Lord to forgive us our sins. Well, I'm sure you're all better than I am. But I give up counting how many things I've done wrong. Too many. when I come to prayer, even early in the morning, the number of things that I've done that I haven't got right and I know have offended God are enormously frequent. I'm sure you are aware of the sins that you do wrong, that none of us can get through. I tried on a number of occasions before I became a Christian. I thought becoming a Christian was about being good. And I tried to see if I could get through a day without doing anything wrong, so I could say to God, look, I've done it. Perhaps with a bit more help, I'll do 2 days. Or I'll do 3 days. I don't think I ever got past 6 in the morning. But there we are. But every one of you should have quite a lively sense that you're a sinner. And compare with a God, compare with our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent into the world, who when he became a human being, he never ever sinned. I think all of you know that, but taking it in is immense. Never sinned as a baby. I can tell with our local babies, and Vivian certainly can, when they're crying out of temper and when they're crying because they've got a pain in their teeth. You can tell. Most of it's crying out of temper. Even babies. And the sins of children are enormous. You can't really leave 2 children alone for very long without they'll fight or tumble or snatch something from somebody or pinch it and have a fight. You really just can't do it. We are sinners. It shouldn't be difficult for us to believe that. But God has not made us to be sinners. And he is prepared to change us. And he doesn't change us by getting us to try and do the best we can. Because if you survive 6 o'clock in the morning, and if you say to me, well, I'm never awake at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll say that's a sin too. But there we are, we'll forget that. We're sinners. And we need Jesus as a saviour. There's a lot of difference between knowing that the Lord has loved us and forgiven us and saved us, and we do things to please him because we love him. That's one thing, and that's right. Quite different from doing things to try and earn his salvation, to say, please accept me. I want to be accepted. I want to belong to you. You can't buy people's love like that. So when the Lord saves us, we certainly may try to please him. We don't always get it right. But we can't try and please him in order to persuade him to save us. So this verse, every day the Lord means us to be praying, forgive us our sins. Now, it won't do to be vague here. You can't come into the presence of God and say, please forgive me what my sins. I don't know what they are, but you know. And leave it at that. That just won't do. I do remember at school once, some of you know that I used to have Greek lessons with our headmaster, and we sometimes used to have it in the study. And I remember we had the head all the way through from year 7 right through till we were 6th form, by which time we were prefects. And I remember on one occasion, this boy came into the room, and it was our procedure in our school, if a boy had really done something that was offensive, that the master wrote a note and sealed it, and he gave it to the boy, and the boy took it to the head, you see. So this, you can imagine it, can't you? A year 7 boy, you can imagine the thing, and you're going into the head study, and there's the 2 senior prefects in there as well, having a lesson. And the head glares at this little lad, and says, right, now you tell me what you've done. It's all right to mess about in front of all the other boys in the class, but when you're alone with the head and 2 senior prefects and he's glaring at you face to face, it's not quite so easy to put into words exactly what you've done. And what he'd actually done when the master asked him to do something, was that to the master, and he got a huge giggle in the front. But by the time he arrived at the head, he wasn't quite so sure that it was a giggling matter. But the thing that always struck me was the head saying, "What did you do? Say it out loud to me. Tell me what you did." And when we confess our sins, he is going to want us to say to his face, actually, what we did. Probably our headmaster followed it up with another question. When the poor frightened little kid had told him what he did, he said, "Why did you do it? Whatever entered into your thick head to make you do that?" Oh, well, now if that was you, could you answer a question like that? Sin is a serious matter. God is not pleased with it. But he will forgive it, but he wants to be sure that we're sorry that we did it, that we've thought about it, and that we've thought about the consequences, because strangely enough, if we sin, usually somebody else pays the price. Again, I learned this was when I was a boy. I was playing football in the street and sent the ball sailing through, of all people, the neighbour we disliked most, right through his window. And it wasn't the only time I sent a ball through a window. I did it at school, where you weren't supposed to be playing ball games in the playground, and tried to pretend the ball had never gone through the window and that we hadn't been playing football. But on this particular occasion, it went through the neighbour's window. And I thought, oh dear, my mum was furious. I was frightened. Actually, he was very good. He had it boarded up. He said to my mum, "Don't worry, I'll see to it." And I thought, when he gets hold of me, what he's going to say is, "That's going to cost you your pocket money for a year." But he never did. He actually just paid for it and did it. So really, my sin cost him. And there are lots of other ways in which things we do wrong, other people pay for. And that's something that the Lord may face us with when we're coming before him and confessing our sin. And this has to be done every day. This is a prayer to be prayed every day. But the Lord has designed a sting in the tail. The prayer actually says, "Lord, will you forgive me the things I've done wrong, exactly as I forgive others the things that they've done wrong to me?" Oh dear. So if you don't forgive the things that are done wrong to you, then God won't forgive you the things that you've done wrong. And he makes you ask this prayer. "Please forgive me as I have forgiven those who've hurt me." And that is a real, it's searching, it's a real problem. There is a story in the Bible. Do you think you're not too tired if we just look at it in the Bible? It's in Matthew 18. And it's... we'll read it and then I'll just explain it, and then I think probably that'll be enough for this evening. But it's Matthew 18 and it's verse 23 onwards. And the subject is forgiving others as you have been forgiven. So it's Matthew 18 and it's verse 23. How are you doing, Sophie? Right. Doing very well. Very well. You're very good. Well done. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay," he didn't have the money to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he wouldn't, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? But his Lord was angry, delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then this little comment of Jesus, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let me just sort of flesh the story out a bit and we'll finish there. It's about not being prepared to forgive others when you want God to forgive you. So here was this king, and he had a number of servants, two of whom had been swindling, at least one of whom had been swindling the master, and the other one had got into debt with one of the other servants. And this man owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in the olden days, talents were sometimes silver, sometimes gold. Jesus intended gold, you're thinking of a millionaire. This man had swindled his master of perhaps millions. And he didn't have it to pay. Now, in the story, the person is God. The person, the king who forgives, is God. And when the man says, Give me patience and I will pay you all, there's no way he could have done it. He was being a liar even then. He was just trying to buy time. But there's no way he was going to be able to pay that debt at all. But still, God forgave him. Now, the debt we owe God because of the things we do wrong, we can't put right. And therefore, we owe God a debt we can't pay. And he does freely forgive, as in this picture. However, that man went out and immediately met a man who owed him 100 pence. Well, the penny might have been valued a little more than it is now, but you're comparing someone who owes a million and has swindled consistently £1 million with somebody who owes his fellow masters a tenner or something like that. But when he comes out and finds this man who owes him a tenner, he gets hold of him by the neck. Subtlety says, you pay me what you owe, or else. Now, God, who is greater than the other man, never got him by the neck, never physically hurt him. But this man, to an equal of his, not only won't forgive him, but is nasty with it. And that's the story. Jesus says, now, if we have sinned against God, and we ask him to forgive us, and Jesus has paid that price, and we may come and repent before him, that's fine. But if we're genuine, we will forgive others who have done to us things that are wrong, but don't compare with the things that we've done wrong to God. So it's forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Don't bear them grudges. Don't make them our enemies. Don't refuse to let them off when we've been let off by so much by the Lord Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread, including seeking that the Lord will give us opportunities to serve him, even by learning and studying, and then forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. I hope we'll learn to pray more thoughtfully, and see answers to prayer as well. Perhaps we'll come to that another time.